Please be seated.
The sermon this evening comes from Matthew chapter 14. Please join me there. Start at verse 13. And go through verse 21. That's Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 13. Matthew 14, 13. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Pray with me. Our Father, we give you thanks for speaking to us always. We thank you that your word endures forever and ever. We thank you that you have given each of us copies of your word, that we can look and see what you have said. And we thank you for calling us together where you meet with us, where you speak to us by your word proclaimed. Father, give us attentive minds. Give us attentive hearts that you will be being glorified. We need you. We need your help. We need your direction. We need your light. We need your love. We need the life that you give to us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see people here in need. They were a people who were wandering and tormented. They were a people who were hungry. They were a people who were sick. Sounds quite familiar, probably. We dwell in the midst of such people. People who are hungry, people who are lonely, people who are sick, people who are in need of a Savior. The disciples looked on these people and they rightly discerned their condition. They saw that they were sick. They saw that they were hungry. They knew that it was getting late. And their answer was, "Jesus, send them away." Hopefully you and I know differently. But I wonder, do we behave differently as we look at a world that is lonely, a world that is sick and broken, a people who faint in their distress? The answer is to bring them to Christ. The answer is to truly love them and bring them to Jesus. The call for you tonight is care enough to feed people. That is, care enough to give them to Jesus. Our first step, number one, is Jesus is strategic. In verse 13, now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Jesus is looking at the circumstances of the world. Romans 8:28 actually tells us that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I don't know if you have ever tried to cause all things to work together for good. I have tried to manipulate circumstances. I have tried to move pieces around. I play chess a bit, and I only have 16 little pieces there on the board, and you find that you always, always miss something, even when you're dealing with pieces that always, always obey the rules. Working in the church, I may try to move pieces, get things where I think they ought to be or need to be, but we find that I myself have significant blind spots. I'll miss it. I'll blow it. I may even think I'm working in accordance with the rules, but I might not even know the rules and know what needs to be done. The pieces that I am working with might not even know the rules and know what needs to be done, or maybe they do know the rules and they won't follow them. We see that Jesus Christ is able and does see all of the pieces. Not only does he see all the pieces, he knows specifically even what is in a man, so that he needs no testimony regarding any man. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows exactly what must take place. And in this world where no one is following the rules, even here, Jesus causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Acts 17:26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. That is, he has set the board. He has set the board perfectly. You are one of his pieces that he loves dearly. If you love Christ, if you are called according to his purposes, he is working intentionally with you and has put you precisely where you need to be to love him and to glorify him. We can look at the pieces that are all around us and we can remember that my calling, my purpose is to love God and to love my neighbor, knowing that God has called us to this place. Jesus has worked strategically with you, with your environment, the people around you, and the circumstances of your life to cause all things to work together for your good as you love him, as you are called according to his purposes. We will find ourselves in the midst of our lives where we feel lost, where we find ourselves lonely. Even in a crowd, we will find ourselves lonely. Even in the assembly, you may find yourself lonely. We see that Jesus does withdraw for periods of time. He withdrew here from the crowds. Now, when Jesus heard, we're in verse 13 again. Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Jesus, it will seem in your life, will withdraw from you. You will have high times where you are enjoying him. You will have high times where you read the scripture and you hear him speaking to you. You will have times when you are praying and it is as if Jesus is sitting in the room with you and you sense, he hears me. He will answer me. And then there will be times where as if you are shouting into a black cave and as if no one is there to hear you. He does withdraw. He does put us in those places. It is a reality and it will be a sorrow in your life. But it is in this life that we have the opportunity to truly practice faith. Assurance of things hoped for. Conviction of things not seen. That day will be gone when Christ comes back. You have the opportunity now to practice faith. Assurance of things hoped for. Conviction of things not seen. You have the opportunity now to wrestle, to struggle, and to battle. You have the opportunity now to make progress in your life, putting to death sin, as sin will be removed from us after Christ comes back. We are in a beautiful place, and this beautiful place is to follow Christ and to seek after him. When Christ withdraws, we are to follow him. We are to seek him with our whole hearts. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. It is all your heart that Christ wants. It is your whole heart that he deserves. We are in the right place where we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are in the right place where we are learning to love him more and more deeply. And it is in those times where we feel as if he is not present that we must be seeking him and finding him. It is in those times where you will be taking more and more territory in your heart for Christ. Acts 17:26-27. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, and having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Now, verse 27 says that. You can hear this as so that you have been placed where you are so that you would seek God, it says. Do you feel loneliness? Do you feel a loss? Do you feel a brokenness? Are the people around you not what you would hope they would be? Are they not satisfying you? Are they not filling you? Is your world broken and you are hurt? Are you overwhelmed by your circumstances? You feel as if things may never get better. He has placed you now and here, verse 27 of Acts 17, so that you would seek God. What is happening in your circumstances if you are not seeking him? What is happening if you're finding yourself in a pit? If you're finding yourself in despair, if you're finding yourself broken and lonely and disappointed, and you're not seeking him, how dreadful for us. What does it say about who your actual God is? If it isn't Jesus, if it isn't there that you are running to, if it is not him that you are running to. That they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him. That groping for him, that imagery makes me uncomfortable. I grew up in the country with no streetlights, and rooms got dark. They got for real dark. And groping for something like a light switch, especially in the midst of panic, groping, hoping to find. But we find ourselves in the dark, lost, alone, and broken, if perhaps you might grope for him and find him. Then this last section, hear the hope for this, though he is not far from each one of us. Broken, lost, lonely, disappointed, he is not far. He is not far from each one of us. We see the heart of Christ expressed in verse 14. He went ashore. He saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Our third step is rely on Jesus' compassion. In brokenness and loneliness and disappointment, he looks, he sees, and he is compassionate. We understand that he is even, or maybe especially, compassionate for us as we are dealing with our sin and our brokenness over our sin. Perhaps you'll see that that's your greatest need. Is Christ healing compassion and his mercy in the midst of your own sin? In Psalm 51, it's wonderful that David was brought to this place and his brokenness as his sin was exposed. He says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Hear that and feel that as you deal with your sin. We call out to him, blot out my transgressions. And with what are your transgressions blotted out but the blood of Christ? The very expression of his own and true and perfect love for you. That is the compassion that we seek, and that is the compassion that he brings. We deal with our own hearts. In Psalm 25, verse 1, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." We bring it to him and deliver it to him because we are broken, because we are needy, because we are sick, and because we need him. Psalm 25, 6, "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old." Isn't it beautiful to say, this is something that lasts. This is something that is real. This is something that endures. This is something I can count on. It is from everlasting. It is to everlasting. "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old." And we know the certainty of that compassion, that it is even eternal life for you. Hope, security, peace, and rescue. Now, as you and I are holding on to and clinging to Christ's compassion, as we are relying on it alone, we look and we see and we understand this is what everyone needs. Verse 4, keep an eye out for people's needs. Verse 15, the disciples were doing an okay job, right? They're following Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. They're looking at the crowds and they see that there is a need there. Verse 15, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." It's a reasonable request. It's a reasonable command. I shouldn't make fun of them. I'm going to meet them someday and we'll see how we get along. But what is it that they actually need? And the reality is that Jesus can feed them. Jesus has been healing them. He has been taking care of them. It is the reality that Jesus gives food to all. He is the God of the Psalms. He gives food to all the creatures, to everyone. He gives food to us, and he gives food to the needy. As you and I are being provided for, we are set in the place to see others being provided for as well. Matthew 22:39, the second greatest commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's actually a bit complex to consider what kind of care we take, how we take care of ourselves. I make sure I get all of my food. I make sure I get everything that I need. I remember Margaret Carson being there, and she made a comment about a particular family. She said, "They certainly are good at being nice to themselves, aren't they?" Generally, we are. Some of us have quirks where we're abusive towards ourselves, but generally, we're all showing up fed and clothed. The second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," stated again in Ephesians 5, where it's being described that no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. We have our dominions. We have our areas of responsibility that we are to be taking care of. We're to be honoring our father and mother, taking care of their needs. We are to be taking care of our households. 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if anyone doesn't care for his own, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever." This affection and this care extends into the whole world. Galatians 6:10. "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to the household of God." We must be caring for the church. And for those of us who are in any position of office or authority, we understand that to whom much has been given, much will be required. In Acts 20:28, speaking to the elders, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So we are brought into that place, observing people's needs and coming to meet people's needs. Verse 16. But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." What is that place of need that people have? Certainly there are people who that we need to be feeding, but people need Christ much more. But we don't give Christ without giving food. James 2:16, "And one of them says to you, 'Go in peace and be warmed and filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that?" There is to be an act of caring and an act of providing for. We look and we see that the means God has given us, He has made them mighty through Himself. In Matthew 12:35, we see the treasures that we each have, that we have been given. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. You have good treasures. Are you mining the Scriptures? Are you finding wonderful things in the Scriptures? Are you in the place to be bringing those to people? I find this to be a hard command. Dick Seary, when he was here, occasionally I would go up and I would greet him and he'd say, "Tell me something good." And he nearly always caught me flat-footed. "Tell me something good." We are to be in the place where we're telling people something good. If you're like me, you have crowds of people who like to say bad things or complain or talk about things that are harmful or things that are hurtful. They look for opportunities to speak of negative things. That is not what we're to be. We are to be speaking to Christ. We are to be hearing Christ. We are to be laying up the word in our heart. And we are to be bringing out of our good treasure what is good, and giving people what we have. I urge you in that direction. Our next step is bring them to Jesus. Rather than shoving people away or pushing people away, we bring them to Christ. We see that it is Christ that has true compassion, and we know that it's real. He has shown it to us. We know He has true patience. We know it's real, because we're still here. We know that He shows true love, as we have been promised life everlasting. Christ was able to work with this meager meal that probably wouldn't have fed even his closest friends there. And He uses it to feed about 5,000 men ate, besides women and children. You and I have the opportunity to introduce people to Christ. I was struck recently. I heard of an interaction with Benjamin Franklin, of all people. He was an immoral man, and we don't use him as an example of any kind of morality. But someone asked him, "What do you say about Jesus?" There's a great question just to offer up to people. You want to figure out how to talk about Jesus? You can easily ask people, "What do you say about Jesus?" At that moment, there is no thing that you are jamming down their throat or attacking them with. "What do you say about Jesus?" When Benjamin Franklin tried to explain his answer, he had a difficult time with it and said, "No one's ever asked me that before." You and I, we are in a great place in our lives to speak to our co-workers, our neighbors, and anyone. Just ask them, "What do you say about Jesus?" And you and I then have the opportunity, after we've heard them, to tell them about the good treasure laid up in our hearts, the opportunity to introduce them to our own Master. The disciples, when they had decided they had found the Messiah, they went to their brothers, they went to their friends and said, "We have found the Messiah. That is Christ." You and I are to be in the place where we're actively being nourished by Christ. In the midst of your sorrows, in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your disappointment, He meets you there. He waits for you there. He waits for you to grope, that you will find Him even in the midst of darkness. Jesus Christ is that fountain of living waters that we are always being led away from, tempted away from. But we are called specifically to Him, to be nourished by Him, encouraged in Him, to experience His love, to experience His compassion, to experience His presence as He is God with us. The wonderful author of life who has displayed that He truly loves us by laying His life down for us. How would you like to introduce that Master to people? That Christ, that Messiah, whose love is from everlasting to everlasting, whose compassion is from everlasting to everlasting. It is Christ that brings us to the Father. It is Christ who has stated, I am the way and the truth and the life. What does this world need? What do your broken neighbors need? What does the broken community, the world need? What does the United States need? They need the way. They need the truth. They need the life. Because no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. So as you have been loved, care enough. Care enough to feed people. That is, care enough to give them Jesus. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You that You have cared enough to give us Jesus. That it is You gave Your one and only Son for our rescue. You have loved us so deeply. Our Father, give us the hearts to meditate on that deep love, to meditate on what You have done, to meditate on Christ who has shown us this perfect love. Our God, and be glorified in us as we love our neighbors, even as we have been loved, that we will introduce them to Your Son, Jesus Christ, that the nations will see and fear, that they will put their trust in Jesus Christ, and that all the world will praise You, and You will be glorified in their worship. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.